with ModHop.com founder Jake Redman and travel junkie Anthony Ryan.
My kid is amped up because she was just in an online Zoom Halloween party with her classmates.
Aw.
Yeah, it was nice. It was cute. And she was having the best day ever until I just scolded her for throwing a Super Bowl in the house. I've told you the ongoing saga with the neighbors, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they've been leaving notes?
Yeah, they've been leaving notes about how we're bothering them between the hours of 4 and 8 p.m., and the equivalent they use is they said, it's unfair to us. It's not like we're having parties late at night, you know, between 11 a.m. and 1 a.m. waking your kids up. And I just think to myself, that's not a fair comparison.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they say,
are they like taking naps between 4 and 8?
Well, I don't know. They say that that's, you know, they're working. They say the whole thing, we're working from home because of COVID and blah, blah, blah. Like we all aren't.
Yeah. Well, here's what sucks about that, you know, because... And there's only so much you could do to be quiet. And then they are probably inadvertently bothering the people below them.
Well, that's us. These are the people upstairs. The people below us don't complain at all.
Oh, wait, time out.
Yeah.
The people upstairs are complaining?
Yeah, the people upstairs are complaining.
Oh, that's a neat one.
Yeah. You know, when we first moved in, the neighbors downstairs complained about how the chairs would make noise on the hardwood floor. And that's fair, I think. Because totally, we had it was wood floors and these hard wooden chairs, and you know when you'd move them around, they'd make a lot of noise. So we triple layered the carpet, or we have like a soundproof layer, like a soundproofing, you know, mat, and then a jute rug, a thick jute rug on top of that, and then in the main part of the living room, we have another area rug on top of that. So, and that's right above like the bedrooms, and then we have carpet in the kids' room because that's over the bedroom underneath too. So it's like I don't know what else we can do here.
The things we do for our neighbors, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you've got kids at home, you understand that between the time the kids come home from school or, you know, once they're done with online school or wherever you're at this point, and 8 p.m. is the time that you're eating dinner and getting the kids to bed. That's complete chaos, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Somebody's riled up right now.
Yeah, I'm a little riled up. Anyway.
We've been having our troubles with our neighbors below us.
Below you?
Yeah, yeah. So we're on the sixth floor and they're on the fifth floor. That might have given too much away now, but you know, they've been being very passive aggressive. They've left a couple notes, which is fine, and they were nice in the notes.
Yeah,
but outside of the notes, they've been like really aggressively banging on the ceilings. And sometimes it's when we've been sentient for the whole night,
right,
like on the couch, and then one of us gets up to like goes to the fridge or something, and then all of a sudden they're just like ready. They're ready with like a broom, ready to hit the ceiling.
Oh,
so
really?
Loud. And it's disturbing, not just to us, but to the other people that live here. And they're doing it between like 10 in the evening to past midnight.
Well, that's...
So it's so loud. It's like, I wonder how it sounds to the neighbors directly next to them.
Yeah, there's still, you know, the general social contract that you don't make noise that late at night. Yeah, I mean, you have to be conscious of your neighbors at certain hours. And I, you know, we've tried to do some things to help with the, you know, the neighbors upstairs enjoy that time. I installed little things on our cabinets so they're not banging. It's like, you know, those little what do you call them?
Yeah,
little
yeah.
governors that sort of keep it from closing too hard. And I think that helps a little bit. But you know, I don't.
You're a better man than me.
Yeah, we've tried to get the kids to run less in the house, and you know, we tried the slippers and socks thing, but they either just fall or they take them off.
You know what the tough thing is? We already walk so quiet. We are considering the neighbors all the time. And
right.
The fact that they now have an issue, they're apparently new. So they're just like, in my head, they're just so sensitive that they just complain about everything. And maybe they've never lived in an apartment before in a city. I'm like, that's how it is, guys. Get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only so much you can do. I mean, it's one thing, you need to be courteous, but, you know, there are some things, you know, there are times of the day that are just going to be louder than others. I just, you know, you have to accept it. And I accept that, you know, there's a lot of walking upstairs, too, that we hear throughout the day, and it's not ideal. But I have one funny story that has happened because of all this. You know, when he first complained, we sort of let it go. And then the kids had, you know, my boy had to stay home for a couple of weeks because there was a gap in between daycare and new daycare. So all the kids were home throughout the day, and I would lose it. I lose it once a day when both kids are home. That's just sort of the accepted allowance of losing it. So, and then you know, what happens is I was at that point of the day and I hear this banging on the wall. It sounds like banging on the wall. And I'm like, oh, is that what's up? And I just start, going off. I start banging on my wall and I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I sent off this ill-advised email to him. And I think I might have copied the association or something like that. Just, you know, really dumb. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll have you know that the kids are home right now and blah, blah, blah. And like, I wrote this just not nasty, but, you know, I don't mean to start a war, but I'm working on it. I'm doing as much as I can. Blah, blah, blah. It was thinly veiled anger. So he emails me back about a half hour later. He's like, yeah, they're doing work on the garden next door. That wasn't me. I'm like, oh, so I felt like a big boob. That fitting? So, yeah, another embarrassing moment. Yeah. I think that's
too. That's also the thing too is that noise. It can be anything. Like they may not even realize it's them, or it might be just something completely different.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows?
Are crazy.
Who knows? Well, that's what I'm thinking too. Like first, they sort of say, you know, have you done this? Can the kids wear slippers and things like that? But I don't really know where the blame lies. Between 4 and 8 p.m., it could be us making dinner, too. I don't even know what it is. It could be someone...
prime time, like, being awake.
I don't know. That's a busy time around here. But anyway, you know what noise? I was thinking about this. I haven't heard a lot of lately, and it was just starting to come back last week, is airplanes flying by my house.
Oh.
You know,
that is a strange one. Yeah,
it's super strange. Like, you know, you still see them every once in a while, but there was a period of time where, and maybe it's just Newark is flying planes out the other way, and you know, I'm just not seeing them as often. But yeah, it's weird. Like, it seems to be a dip in traffic, even though I know, you know, air traffic is sort of returning a little bit. People are starting to fly more. Of course, nowhere near what it used to be or what it is in normal times. But
it's a sad reality, man.
Yeah,
I almost want to hear that noise pollution again. In the airplanes.
That's the kind of noise I want to hear. That sort of white noise. And you know what I was thinking there, you know, we've got all these noise machines and none of them have airplane interior. I just feel like that's one that I need to have. I've seen it on apps before, but I've never seen one in a standalone noise machine.
Right, that's true. You know what you could do is just leave YouTube on your TV and then just turn the monitor off. Or like, you know, you could shut down the screen without turning off the sound in some TVs.
Well, yeah, and I've seen it in apps, or I've heard it in apps, but it doesn't feel true to the actual experience. And I want one that's broken down by aircraft.
Okay.
You know, I want 787. I want, you know.
You want the Concorde.
A340. Concorde, sure, why not? But I guess we'll just...
That's actually a really clever idea.
That's our million-dollar idea.
Plane-specific white noise. Hey, bleep this out because we don't want the public to hear it.
Okay. We're going to get that in the development right now. Speaking of flying, this has nothing to do with flying, but it has to do with lounges. So I think we were talking last week or the week before about how airport lounges are closed, but they're not really. I mean, a lot of them are, but airline-specific lounges are typically open, at least in hubs. COVID numbers, of course, up in a lot of places now, but with a lot of these airport lounges open, people saying it's a decidedly different experience than it was pre-pandemic. What you'll find is that most airlines have at least one lounge option at each of its hub airports. And that's great news if you're back traveling for business and have an allegiance to an airline or a membership to those lounges. Less lucky are those of us who rely on, say, Priority Pass to lounges. Many independent and partner airline clubs remain shut down. Boarding Areas Point Me to the Plane has a running list of what's open domestically if you want to check out what's up at your home airport. What's the experience like? The article points out that points of contact with staff are reduced. Masks are mandatory, of course, when not eating, or except when eating. Spacing is in place, of course, and then the article even points out that some experiences brought improvements from non-pandemic times, meaning...
Really?
Yeah, some airlines, I think British Airways was one lounge that they said in particular, is sort of an upgraded experience, and I'm not exactly sure how it didn't get into great detail, but it shows why some lounges are better.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good time to reevaluate what you're doing, make things better for the next wave of people.
Well, yeah.
Whenever that happens.
Yeah, so, and I can see that maybe, you know, some airlines might adjust better. Just because maybe they find a better way to utilize the space.
I wonder how they're doing the buffet style food that they have. It's not really a buffet, obviously, but you know how they leave out like
Yeah, from what I hear, it's a lot of individually wrapped stuff. That's what I've seen, especially at hotels. I was at a Holiday Inn Express last week, in fact, that had a lot of individually wrapped stuff that, especially like coffee cups, it's always, everything's in, even like lids are wrapped. So it's just a lot of attention to, you know, where people typically come in contact with stuff and hands graze over. But I don't think there's any sort of like serve yourself sizzler type buffet at any of the airports right now or any of the lounges. So,
you know, it's interesting. The thing about that is that they're not just losing money by having less people, but they're spending more because they have to individually wrap things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you get into the business of this, you know, where the, you know, they're saving money by not having as many lounges open, or you know, where are they saving? They're losing money anyway. I mean, it's just, you know, so I guess, you know, save here, spend here, I guess, is one of those.
Yeah,
you know, they're making a lot of tough business decisions, I guess. So it's tough to wrap my head around or how the airlines are staying alive business-wise, but you can go lounge at most big city airports.
Right on. Well, whenever I go fly somewhere, which is not for a while.
Yeah, it's not going to be for a while. Boarding area site Frequent Miler pointed out some good but temporary bonuses with registration for Chase partner cards. Here we go again with the Chase cards. For example, IHG Premier card can earn 5x points on Amazon purchases through December 31st and 3x for groceries, although that's not much more than the 2x you normally get with the IHG card. The 5x on Amazon is actually attached to a lot of partner cards through the year starting November 1st, like the United Explorer card, Marriott, Hyatt, Southwest Airlines cards, and more. Marriott personal and business cards also get 10x points on Marriott stays up to $3,500 of spend. So that's some good value getting back into the or getting into the holiday season.
Keyword Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. And these aren't the flexible points that you and I are the most amped about, but the, you know, each card partners points, like Marriott. These are Marriott points and IHG points and Southwest Airlines. So, you know, the valuation is different on each of them, but, you know, 10x Marriott points isn't the same as, you know, one or two even Chase Ultimate Rewards points, just different currency.
Right, right.
And before we start talking about how much we love Chase cards, again, I found a decent Amex deal via Renee's Points and a few other boarding area blogs. It's a targeted offer apparently for Amex business cards offering 10% cash back in statement credits up to $100 after registration and purchases must be made directly at the pump at Exxon. That offer runs through December 22nd, so a little bit to trim the gas budget, especially helpful getting into the holiday season.
I think that's one of the hardest things is to be allegiant to a gas station, in my opinion, because you literally have to go out of your way.
You know, I've known people, though, who've been like, I got to put a tiger in my tank. You know, I can't, people really just are swear by certain brands of gasoline. So I guess that exists, but I'm with you. I'm Speedway one day, Exxon the next, Shell the next, you know, it doesn't really
whatever's
matter.
Whatever's physically
to me.
Convenient, yeah. That's what I'll
whatever's
do.
On the side of the road that I'm driving on,
yeah,
that's the allegiance I have. But it's interesting. I maybe there are gas programs that are sort of similar to airline points programs that people are loyal to, but I just can't do it. It's just too hard to take a left. Whose job is the riskiest when it comes to contracting COVID-19?
Is it not the hospital workers?
It probably is, but federal air marshals might be in the running too, as nearly 100 have contracted the virus since the start of the pandemic. Just last week, the agency was hit hard at its Dallas field office and was forced to shutter another in Philadelphia. One marshal has died due to COVID-19, and he believed that he had caught it on a flight. Yahoo News reports that there are currently 14 active cases within the agency, but it's unknown if any were caused by flights, and that many of the nearly 100 total came at the beginning of the pandemic when it was more confusing and there was less access to testing.
Yeesh.
One of the more disturbing things in the article was that over the summer, a number of agents said that they had been told to fly to and from hotspots even when they were waiting for test results. So they were suspected they had contracted it. Maybe they were starting to feel ill or you know, they were just waiting on a test result, but they were told to continue flying, which...
That's tough.
Yeah, it's a bummer to hear, but you know, hopefully they've got a something sorted out, or they're starting to figure it all out right now. But it seems like the TSA in particular has started to get it right, at least.
Let's hope so. I mean, from some of the things that I've heard, it's 2022 is the year we're going to get back to semi-normal. I don't know if I could wait that long to travel, man.
Yeah, if it gets a little bit better and we can get our family on a plane, I'll be happy.
Hey, you know what I've been doing to quench my thirst for my wanderlust?
What's that?
I've actually,
than YouTube videos?
Well, it's actually related. So I've been watching this one YouTube guy who's actually, you know, Mark Wiens, right?
Yeah.
It's his sidekick who's appeared in his previous videos, this guy Joel Bruner.
Oh.
To be
I thought his sidekick was like his wife or girlfriend, whoever that was.
Well, yes. She's on in the videos as well. But okay. There's always been this guy in the background who's always having these like elated reactions to the food. And we're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He seems really interesting. And finally, he started his own channel. And so my wife and I have been watching. And what's really cool about it is that he seems to have built this like community that really wants to support each other. And so what he's done recently is he's done live streams.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, we were just curious. We're like, let's just hop onto his live stream. Cause we were kind of digging his YouTube videos. And then he did a live stream. We joined it. And like, you know, the way he talks and the way he just views life is just so inspiring. But what's cool is that everyone's like talking in the chat rooms, you know, not only talking to Joel himself live. And by the way, this guy's based in Thailand.
Okay.
So
is that where Mark Wiens is based?
Right. So Mark, I think, is based around Bangkok. And this guy, Joel, who is now based in Khon Kaen.
Okay.
He was in Chiang Mai, but he traveled. He moved, actually, to Khon Kaen, I think, to be with his girlfriend.
Oh, right.
Where's
Khon Kaen? Is that south of...
It's like east-ish.
Is it? Okay.
It's north of Bangkok.
Oh, okay. It's still north of Bangkok.
And like southeast of Chiang Mai, I believe. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, Chiang Mai is in the north, Thailand, so geography. I don't know. Yeah, my mind is a little rusty, too. I just, for some reason, I assumed it was an island, so I figured it was like in the Gulf or whatever that is.
It's like in inland quite a bit.
Right.
But what's cool is that the chat group will just message each other as well, and they'll sort of like, you know, say something and then everyone will support that person, or like if somebody's down and they say it and everyone just
I love groups like energy. that haven't really crossed over into like it hasn't sort of crossed over into a large enough group that it's a lot less personal, you know. That I don't know how large this group is, but it's sort of like that you'll hear from other people in the group, and there might be some, you know, some input from the higher end of the group or the people that started it and have some expert opinion in those. But then there are some that just sort of get out of control, and like the original admins aren't quite as involved anymore, and it's just sort of a mess of people and newbies and things like that, and it becomes a little less I don't know if it's a little less exclusive or if it's just less informative because there's so much information there, but I think what you're describing sounds like one of those groups that's right in that sweet spot.
That's exactly right. And that's why my wife Kristen and I we feel still like really connected to the other members, and Joel, of course, himself. And he makes it so personal. He'll talk to you on the screen and answer your questions, a bunch of questions. And the best part about it is, like, he's traveling throughout Thailand and he's showing you all these amazing experiences that obviously we can't experience at the moment, but we can live vicariously through him. And he's one of those types of guys that just is totally willing to go into a town where he doesn't even speak the local dialect.
Right.
And he's willing to just learn and absorb and try different things, try the foods. Really cool. You should check it out.
I will. I want to sort of blow that whole thing up and make sure we all get involved in it and make it useless.
you want it to get too big for
it. I'm going to go in there and just spout absolute nonsense until everybody is
driven
away. No, I would never do that. It sounds like a really cool thing.
Maybe one day we can have him on the podcast.
Speaking of people who've been on the podcast, Laura Stiles is in the hospital having her first child.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
One time frequent guest, Laura Stiles, and host of the Hot 97 morning show here in New York and in syndication. She coordinates a podcast or a big festival here in New York too. Envision Fest, I think it's called too. But, you know, one of our favorite people to have by the podcast now and then. So good vibes her way.
Right on. Congrats. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. But yeah, so I think that's good. I think we leave on a high note. Many congratulations to our friend Laura. And if you want to get in contact with us, find out more about the group that Anthony was talking about, or join us and talk with just us, maybe we can start our own little community.
Yeah, we're going to have to do live streams.
Yeah. Well, when that one starts to blow up too big, we'll start our own.
Yeah, we'll wait.
We'll start our own community and see what happens there. So thanks for joining us again. I think this is our 87th podcast, slowly creeping our way to 100. It's only been 4 years, I think.
87, what a year.
It was. I almost graduated from high school.
Oh, I was talking about 1887.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's what it feels like. All right, have a great week, friend.
Yes, cheers to you as well.
All right, talk to everybody soon.
All right, adios.
The Mod Hop Podcast with Jake Redman and Anthony Ryan.
And cut.
Cut.